Coming up on Tech News Today, what the kids want for Christmas tech-wise and the talk you need to have with them. Sponsored by Eric Schmidt. Before you give them all that technology to look for stuff online, and Apple's spaceship is delayed. All that and more coming up.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Tech News Today is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Tech News Today for Wednesday, November 21st, 2012. Tech News Today is brought to you by viewers and listeners like you. Thanks for your support and happy Thanksgiving. To receive your thanks, use offer code THANKS. Welcome to Tech News Today. I'm Tom Merritt.
I'm Sarah Lane.
I'm Aya Zachter.
And I'm Jason Howell.
And this is the show that keeps you up to date on the most important stories in the tech world, starting each time with the top 10 stories of the day in the news fuse. Good news and bad news today for RIM. What do you want first? Good news or bad news, guys?
Bad news.
Bad news? Bad news first? All right, get it out of the way. U.S. National Transportation Safety Board said it's looking to switch from RIM's BlackBerry to Apple's iPhone because BlackBerry's, quote, have been failing both at inopportune times and at an unacceptable rate.
What's the good news?
The good news is Jefferies and Company analyst Peter Misick raised his rating on RIM's stock shares to hold from underperform, doubling his price target to $10 because, Misick says, he's received surprisingly strong positive response to BlackBerry 10 from mobile carriers.
FCC Chair Julius Genachowski says that Dish Networks will get its license for a U.S. mobile network, but Dish says there are restrictions that will cripple our ability to enter the mobile business by reducing the possible range and coverage, such as vacating the 5 megahertz band. Here's the deal. Sprint plans to deploy LTE in that neighboring spectrum. Dish says Sprint is only planning to fill 5 megahertz of spectrum and that U.S. customers will get absolutely no gain from that.
Bummer. Apple's got all kinds of delays. It takes forever to get an iPad mini. Mm. It takes a long time to get that new iTunes. Yeah. And now Apple's new circular campus won't be completed until mid-2016.
But I pre-ordered.
You're going to have to wait. Apple wanted to start construction on its new headquarters this year, but the city of Cupertino may not complete its environmental impact report until June. That could delay the start of the project to 2014.
After CNET reported on possible changes to the Electronic Communications Privacy Act to allow more warrantless access to digital information, we discussed that on yesterday's show, Senator Patrick Leahy posted on Twitter that he would not support an expansion of such exceptions. Some outlets report the rewrite was merely a draft revision for consideration and never meant for a proposal anyway. A vote on the proposal in the Senate Judiciary Committee with Senator Leahy chairing is still scheduled for next Thursday.
Google says an upcoming UN-organized conference threatens the free and open internet and says some countries will try to take the net's technical specifications and domain name system from U.S. bodies to an international organization. Google has asked web users to add their name to an online petition to support its view. On its Take Action site, Google writes, some proposals could permit governments to censor legitimate speech or even allow them to cut off internet access. This could limit access to information, particularly in emerging markets.
Samsung is going to introduce an 8-core processor on February 19th. Now, the processor uses ARM's Big Little architecture and will pair two quad-core clusters. One runs at 1.8 gigahertz with Cortex A15 cores, the other 1.2 gigahertz with Cortex A7. Now, ARM's Big Little scheme combines processors and switches between them based on system load. ARM says that could extend battery life in devices by up to 70%.
Big Little architecture just makes me laugh every time I hear it. I don't know why. In a move that should quiet accusations of net neutrality violations, MacRumors reports AT&T has started rolling out FaceTime access over cellular data to iPhone 4S users and people on those grandfathered unlimited data plans. Earlier this month, AT&T was criticized when it announced it would only allow FaceTime over cellular data to owners of LTE phones, essentially the iPhone 5, as well as those on mobile share data plans.
A hacker from Goatsy Security, gotta love that name, found a flaw on AT&T's website a couple years ago that allowed harvesting of emails and user data on an iPad. went public with the exploits to warn users and may now face jail time. If you're saying, why? They were just warning users. The hacker may have broken the Computer Fraud and Abuse Act of 1986, which makes it illegal to access the computer without authorization or exceed authorized access from a protected computer. The case could go to the Supreme Court and could set a precedent for anti-hacking laws going forward.
Microsoft allows Windows 8 Pro users a free upgrade to Windows Media Center until January. And Windows Wave reports that this plan also allows people with unauthorized copies of Windows 8 to activate those unauthorized copies. Unauthorized copies of Windows can be used for 180 days before you have to activate them. Apparently, the Windows Media Center free upgrade doesn't check the underlying activation and replaces it, thus making the resulting install appear valid.
The Government Advisory Committee published a list of early warnings to let generic top-level domain applicants know of concerns by interested parties. Now, Amazon is facing opposition to its application for .amazon from Brazil and Peru, who say granting the GTLD would prevent the use of it for public interest related to the actual Amazon region. Australia has also flagged Amazon's applications 26 times, citing competition concerns.
Yeah, Amazon snarfed up a bunch of those things.
.app, .news, like everything.
It was like CNET in 1994 all over again. This is a sponsor-free episode, so we have no sponsors to tell you about today, but we love all our sponsors, and we hope they come back soon. It's a holiday weekend.
We've got their families, right?
Yeah, they're all cooking turkey. We got Thursday and Friday off, so this is the last Tech News Today show you're going to get this week. We'll be back on Monday and back at it. But we're very excited to have Jeff Cannata, correspondent to Always On with Molly Wood at CNET. Hey, I know her, and I know
Hey,
you.
Yeah, she's good people.
Hey, you've been doing some good stuff on there, man. I've enjoyed it.
Thank you. I appreciate it. A new episode just came out where I destroyed the Surface. Pretty hardcore.
I heard some stories about that.
Yeah. Used it as a skateboard, cooked an egg on it. It was lots of fun.
Good times. The torture tests are actually really awesome, stuff that you guys are doing. Thanks for joining us. We got lots of good stuff to talk about today. Let's start by talking about that delayed Apple spaceship, Sarah Lane.
Oh, Thanksgiving week. You know, this is the breaking news that I decided to cover today. But no, this is actually pretty interesting. Sometime back, we all recall that Steve Jobs had proposed the new Apple mothership. A lot of people say it actually looks like a spaceship because it was sort of a round donut that was going to be smack dab in the middle of a bunch of orchards in Cupertino. And the city of Cupertino said, yeah, we love this idea. Let's do it. Turns out there's an updated proposal that Apple has submitted to the city. They submitted it back on the 14th. They wanted to break ground on the campus this year. It's 176 acres. Quite a large footprint. The city may not complete an environmental impact, though, until June, which, of course, would push this out a bit. So even if all went through and there weren't any lawsuits from people living in Cupertino, which is totally still possible, Apple wouldn't break ground on this until 2014. You might say, I mean, it's not really that delayed. And that's true. But they are revising their plans a little bit as well. Apple wants to build additional housing for utility equipment and wants more parking spots for workers that it expects to be working out of this new headquarters once it's done. What's kind of interesting is that because Apple wants all of the parking to be underground, so not only do you not see it, but you know you can kind of have a living roof type of a thing, they actually want to triple the amount of landscaped area to cover these underground parking spots. And they've removed a little footbridge over a creek that was supposed to be part of the property. And no word yet on why. Maybe they just figure they'll have to take care of too many koi fish or something, but
people jumping in the creek.
I wanted to talk about this just because I remember when plans of this came out, we were all like, wow, I mean, that's kind of crazy, right? This is very sort of Steve Jobs, his vision of, you know, what Apple's going to be in the future. Of course, at the time he was, he was not acting CEO at Apple anymore, but he was the one that presented this to Cupertino, and there was even video, and you could tell that, you know, some of the folks that were sitting on the board there were kind of, you know, smitten with the idea that Steve Jobs was there proposing a new building to them. And here we are now with this project going through still, And you start getting that first pushback when the city says, well, we're not really done with our environmental tests that obviously you have to go through for any project. And Apple says, well, you know, now that we've rethought these plans, maybe it should look a little different. And I think it looks amazing. So I hope this is something that is just truly delayed 6 months or so, but does go forward. I think they say at this point, if everything is only delayed just a slight bit, then the project would be completed, estimated 2016. So we're still obviously looking out a few years, but I hope it's still a reality, I guess.
Yeah, it's one of those things that I think a lot of people are paying more attention to, not just because it's Apple, because it looks so odd. It's so space age. And it was the last public appearance by Steve Jobs when he presented that to Cupertino. So I think a lot of people emotionally attach themselves to the project. I don't get the sense that this is any different than most of these big kinds of architectural deals. I'm not an expert in this sort of thing, but they always seem to have unexpected delays and environmental reviews. I'm thinking of, you know, sports teams whenever they build a stadium. They seem to go through the same stuff.
So we're talking about municipal planning today.
It's like a sports stadium.
It's like,
yeah.
Wow, this is exciting. I'm sure there'll be a delay when they try to get those big pieces of glass, too. That's actually something Apple loves to do. They wanted big curved glass windows on that spaceship-looking thing. So it's probably going to take them a long time to get that as well. So we'll see how long this takes.
I would just like to come out and say that I'm in favor of anybody adding parking to anywhere. More parking.
Spoken like a true Angelino. And yes. I'll be joining you soon.
I think there's up to about 15,000 parking spaces that are going to be unseen, you know, unless you know how to get under that beautiful grass and, you know, and apricot trees or whatever they're planted out there. So that's pretty cool.
All right. Did you want to mention the RIM switch, the National Transportation Safety Board?
Yeah, I mean, I know we mentioned it quickly in the news views, but as I was researching the Apple spaceship plans, I thought, well, you know, I guess it's sort of a setback for Apple. But, you know, they're pretty busy being a top smartphone for the government. The NTSB, which is the National Transportation Safety Board, has announced that they are switching from BlackBerry in favor of the iPhone 5, the iPhone 5 specifically. And it's kind of, you know, it's really sort of a blow to RIM because the NTSB said, it's not just for no reason. It's because BlackBerry has reliability issues and they have been failing both at inopportune times and at an unacceptable rate. So that's great for Apple, right? Apple's like, look at us in the enterprise, just kept getting better and better. But for RIM, you don't want to hear that, especially one day after an analyst said, you know, maybe this company isn't over. Maybe there is a future. You've got another government organization saying, not for us, you fail.
Yeah. And it does sound like the carriers are excited about BlackBerry 10, but that's not coming until after the first of the year. So it's going to be a long wait. On the other side of things, though, T-Mobile says, well, screw the iPhone. We don't want anything to do with it. That's not exactly what they said.
Well, that's almost about right. The CEO of T-Mobile was talking at the Morgan Stanley 12th Annual Technology, Media, and Telecoms Conference. And he said, make no mistake about it. We would love to carry the iPhone. However, we want the economies to be right for us. Previously, the T-Mobile is going to join up with MetroPCS. MetroPCS's COO said that it would be harmful to MetroPCS to have to cut out part of its handset portfolio to accommodate one phone. So then the CEO of T-Mobile apparently says they don't want to sign a deal like Sprint. Now, Sprint has the iPhone. They got it in 2011, four-year, $15 billion deal, and Sprint says they're not going to be profitable until 2015. I guess with this kind of statement from T-Mobile and the new T-Mobile that's going to be out, does a wireless carrier have to have the iPhone to be a serious competitor at this point, or is the iPhone just waning at this point because there are so many competing phones?
I don't think it's either of those, really. In my normal way, I'm not going to pick a side. I'm going to go right down the middle. No, I think that the iPhone isn't waning, but Android is rising. And so it is less urgent for T-Mobile than it was 2 or 3 years ago. And I still don't think Sprint made a mistake. I think Sprint did the right thing for Sprint there. It's cutting it close to the bone. But I kind of think they needed the iPhone even worse than T-Mobile. I think T-Mobile has a chance to differentiate itself and be the premier Android carrier here.
Jeff, what do you think? Do you think it's about the phones? Do you think it's about the network? What's the hook for T-Mobile?
I think it's about the phones, but I totally agree with Tom. I think that because Android is not viewed as being a less than anymore, and so many people are making a decision not based on, is it just the next Apple phone? These the playing field is much more leveled, and I don't think that they're doing themselves a disservice. I think that they can position themselves, as Tom said, as the premier Android carrier, and I think that would be a very viable position to be in.
I don't know, I think that's what Verizon tried to do when they didn't have the iPhone. Sarah, you're big on the iPhone. Do you think
it was a different time then? You know,
would you be tempted for a T-Mobile iPhone situation?
You're asking me if I switched to T-Mobile, would I be okay not having an iPhone anymore?
Sure.
Well, I think I'd have to be, right? I agree with what Tom says. It's the iPhone. I think even as recently as a year ago, we were all still saying, well, you know, if you don't have an iPhone, I mean, you're not really a true competitor, because that's sort of this glaring omission that even people who don't have iPhones say, oh, but you got to have the iPhone, right? That's the phone. And that just simply isn't true anymore. Not that an iPhone still isn't good. And of course, I still have an iPhone. So it's, you know, I'm not making a switch anytime soon. I'm also fairly happy with Verizon. Can't believe I'm saying that. But if you are going for, you know, one of the best smartphones possible, T-Mobile has a great plan, makes sense for you, then yeah. I mean, with all the Android phones that you have at your disposal, especially for anybody who's switching into the smartphone market for the first time or upgrading for the first time in a while, you don't need an iPhone to feel like you've got one of the best phones out there.
Screw it. I'm going to disagree with Tom, because everybody already
agreed. Time.
Everybody
did.
Agreed with you. I'm just going to take a contrarian position. I don't even know. But the thing is, if you don't have that iPhone there, and the way T-Mobile is supporting iPhones, like, yeah, you can bring your phone over. We'll support it all kinds of ways. If they don't have that phone to bring people in to the stores and go, oh, yeah, we do have these other phones. If they don't have the major players, it's almost like saying, we're a real network, but we don't have sports. It's like, no. When Fox got sports, they became a real network. It's that kind of thing. If you're going to be a wireless carrier in the United States, you better have the iPhone, because it's just one of the monstrous phones that gets people in the doors. And that's.
But what about, okay, so let's say Thanksgiving holiday, a bunch of families are getting together, and one of the cool tech people in the family says, look at the Samsung Galaxy S3. This is a hot phone. And everyone sits around and goes, wow, look at all the stuff it can do. Gosh, it looks like the future. They go to a T-Mobile store. They've got that phone. Done deal. That's the phone that got them in there in the first place.
I'm going to agree and disagree with Ayaz at the same time. Because I think what you said is, it has been true up until very recently that iPhone was the sports to a carrier's TV network. But I think that's just now turning. And it may not have fully turned yet, but the Samsung Galaxy S3 is the phone that's really that people that I know who don't follow technology know about. And they're like, oh, yeah, I've seen those crazy ads, and it looks really cool, and I love, you know, and I like it. And I think that there are now phones that can bring people in the store that aren't iPhones, where there weren't for a long time.
I still think they need a real network first. That's crazy.
Yeah, well, they're working on that.
How about the LTE in 2014?
They brought that Metro PCS. They got some spectrum.
I recently went to a wedding and talked to a bunch of people, and I was sort of, you know, the tech guy there to them.
Uh-huh.
And you know, everybody was oohing and aahing over my iPhone 5. And the question that I kept getting was so crazy was, does it do that bump thing from the commercials? You know, which it's so strange to me that has gotten mind share, you know? So I think the iPhone is, you know, it's not what it once was. And it's that whole, from the casual perspective, it's starting to change.
That's hilarious that that's what gets the mind share, but it got it because of that one particular ad that everybody saw, the quote unquote sexting ad. Meanwhile, anybody that has the ability to do this, I would guess it's not being used nearly as much as
I forgot about the sexting ad. I was thinking about the one where they're outside the Apple store.
Oh, okay. Well,
that's what they do.
I guess they do that in a couple of the ads that they do.
Don't watch this video on the airplane thing.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, while we're talking about the normals before we move on, so I'm down in Florida right now with the Mister's family, and the Mister's sister's got a Droid, and we were taking pictures of like the ocean last night, and she goes, what are you taking pictures of in the dark? Because it was nighttime. And we said, well, you know, the pictures aren't very good, but, you can just run it through some post-processing apps afterwards and make it something. And she goes, oh, yeah, iPhone stuff. You guys have all those photography apps. I only have a Droid. And I was like, well, that is not true. But there you go. I mean, there is definitely some holdover of what people think iPhones can do, even if they have competing phones, if they're not actually, I guess, tech savvy enough to want to hang out in the Google Play Store enough to know what they actually have at their fingertips.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about the Nielsen study. They do an annual holiday shopping study, and a lot of times you'll hear stuff about, you know, adults wanting world peace or televisions, and they want big televisions more than world peace, stuff like that. This study that's out right now is about kids. 48% of children 6 to 12 want an iPad. In fact, four of the top five items wanted by this age group are from Apple. The Nintendo Wii U is the exception at number two. But iPod Touch, iPad Mini, and the iPhone round out the top five. That's right. 6 to 12-year-olds want phones. That's the reality we live in. 6 to 12-year-olds don't want the Microsoft Surface very much, though. It's down there at 6%. That may not surprise you much.
What because they can't lift it.
What may surprise you is that 21% of 13-plus kids want an iPad. So it's about half of the younger kids. In fact, Jason, if you scroll down on that same page, you'll see the blue graph down there is the one for 13-plus. There's iPad at the top. They want a computer second. They're growing up. They're getting serious. The Wii U's still in the top five, though. But there's only two Apple products if you're above 13 in the top five. In fact, the iPhone and the iPad are the only two. A tablet computer other than iPad, so an Android-based tablet, possibly, 18%. Or maybe they're thinking of the Microsoft Surface, although they break the Surface out, it only gets 3% of the 13-plus kids. So apparently Apple and the Microsoft Surface appeal better to 6 to 12-year-olds than they do to kids above 13. What tech are you guys thinking of giving to people for the holiday season? Sarah, or Jeff,
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to leap in there.
No, I wasn't sure who to go to first.
I literally just said goodbye to my sister and her husband as they drove back up to the Bay Area, and I asked them, you know, we're getting close to the holidays, what does my little 8-year-old nephew want? And number one on his list is an iPod Touch. So anecdotally, yeah. I was shocked. I think the real bad news on that list, at least from my perspective, is the PlayStation Vita. My goodness. What is it, 4% on that list?
Yeah.
That's really sad. I mean, it's still very fresh, having just been released recently. And the fact that, I mean, I think that is the death knell for dedicated gaming devices, handheld gaming devices, because, you know, iPads, iPad minis, and even, my nephew wants an iPod, not because he wants the latest tunes in his ears.
Right.
It's because he wants apps. He wants to play games on it. And that's the device that all his little buddies play games on. And they don't think about having, I mean, he has a DS, and I know he still loves it, but they don't think about getting the Vita, and they don't think about getting the 3DS. They want iPhones, iPads, iPods. So it's interesting.
Sarah, you got any particular tech stuff on your list?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like everyone that I know and love has every tech product manageable. I only love a couple people. But no, it's funny. We actually brought an iPad 2 down here to Florida to give to MG's mom. And it was sort of like, I mean, she doesn't know that there are like four generations of iPads. She's only heard of an iPad before. So it was like presented like, this is really exciting new gadget that you're going to love. And the first thing she says is, can I get to MSN.com? We went, yeah, you could do that. Sure. You could do all sorts of stuff. That's just the tip of the iceberg. And I mean, it is magical to watch somebody who's really, and you know, and this is like, I'm really not trying to make fun of her, but this is like, this represents quite a few people that don't go to the Apple store. They're not doing that. They're not picking up tablets. They certainly don't know what a Surface is or what it could do, even if they had seen a commercial. And you know, she picks it up and it's like, well, how do I type? Well, there's a keyboard. Oh my goodness. Oh, look at this. Wow. And I say, oh, show her Angry Birds, you know, and it's like, she's looking at it like, I don't know how to, this is crazy. I mean, it's like, it's the most magical thing. So anyway, that's brought me a lot of joy already this holiday season, just to watch somebody be utterly confused by an iPad 2 that's not even Retina. Besides that, we already have a Surface at the house. I don't know what else we could buy. I'm teched out.
Once you have Microsoft Surface,
somebody's going to get a lump of coal.
You have everything, right?
You can't go back after that.
I'm sorry. How many 6-year-olds want a Surface exactly?
And 6%.
Can we think about that?
6% of 6 to 12. Double the number of 13.
They're not locked down to the idea of, like, how do I use the desktop? Yeah, I don't care. Right. It's just a tablet. And I'm looking at this every time I think about getting tech for anybody. I think I have to do the tech support. So I don't want to give them any of this stuff. Because I don't want to have to explain how an iPad works. I don't want to have to explain how a tablet computer other than an iPad works. It's enough trouble for me to figure it out, let alone explain over the phone to do that. I'm looking at the Wii U. Tom, you have the Wii U,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
How is that? Is that something that I should be thinking about gifting or getting?
I don't know if I want to get in a big, long discussion about the Wii U. We were talking about it before the show. So far, I am enjoying it. The only major problem I have is it's a little laggy on the menu switching. Jeff and I were comparing notes, and we both found that to be true. The one game I've played is Nintendo Land, and that game requires multiple people to really make best use of it. I've been playing it alone. So I've been playing – it's like using a mobile device. I've been playing a lot on the tablet rather than the TV. You kind of have to have multiple players to really take best use. What was the game, Jeff, that you were saying that makes really good use of the fact that you can look up at the TV and down at the tablet?
Zombie U. Zombie U is really interesting. It's a zombie survival game. Not for 6 to 10-year-olds or whatever it is. It's definitely an M-rated game. But it really enhances the tension of running from the zombies and the zombie apocalypse by making you have to decide which screen you're going to look at and never pausing the game. So, for example, if you want to go through your knapsack and pull out the next weapon or Band-Aid or whatever that you need, you have to look down into the game pad. Meanwhile, you're leaving yourself open on the television screen for zombies to attack you. So it's interesting how it does that. But I think where the Wii U excels is in those households where there are little brothers or wives or whatever, where the time on the main television screen is at a premium, and you can shuffle the game off between the two screens so that little brother has his own screen, or mom can watch, you know, television while dad or son or daughter or whatever plays the game on the gamepad. It's really made for those kinds of situations, and I think it excels there. So if you have friends in that kind of a situation, I could recommend it wholeheartedly.
All right, we got a new video on demand service. We've talked about it before, coming from Janice Freese, the man who brought you Skype, as well as many other things like Ardeo. And this Sarah, it sounds like this might be tied in with Ardeo somehow.
Yeah, exactly. We heard about Vidio. That's what I'm calling it. It's VDIO, which obviously looks a lot like Ardeo. And it's the same team behind both. Now, Vidio, as far as, you know, it's concerned right now, is not live. However, a site preview at VDIO.com has gone up, and it looks like it has now entered a private beta in both the U.S. and the U.K. GigaOm first talked about the fact that Vidio was coming at some point back in just over a year ago, October 2011. And what's interesting about it is again, this is just a site preview. I tried to contact everybody I knew at Ardeo today to try to get me in. I don't know. Everybody's either gone for the week or they're just ignoring me. But I haven't been able to get myself an invite yet. But it looks like it's more of an iTunes model than a Netflix model. The idea is that you purchase or rent TV shows or movies. There's a standard, you know, 24-hour time period to watch a video, kind of like iTunes. Or a, you know, a 30-day rental period after you make your you can begin your rental up to 30 days after you make a purchase. That's the iTunes model, of course. So when I see this for the first time, and again, this is a site preview, and I'm not exactly sure how either the folks that are invited are using it or how it might change. But this disappoints me a little bit just because I've already got an iTunes model. I've already got a rental model. I'm fine with that. I love the idea of a subscription model because I like Netflix, but it isn't perfect. But also more because I love Ardeo. And I've talked about Ardeo quite a bit in the past. Ardeo is obviously the closest competitor to Spotify. That's a lot smaller of a company, but really does social features well. Part of the thing that I like about music the most on Ardeo is firing up my social feed and seeing who's listened to what, who's added a new album to their collection, who's created a playlist. I there's discovery tools so I can find friends that are like-minded or, you know, follow certain accounts really, really easily. And I've always thought that Ardeo does that better than Spotify. And I don't think that's what I use Netflix for at all. So if there was sort of a video version of Ardeo that was a subscription service that still was tied very tightly with the social aspects that I like about it, that would be really attractive to me. Now, of course, video and music is very different. I mean, I can easily just say, ooh, okay, I'll listen to an album that my friend liked while I'm doing other stuff. Sitting down and watching, you know, an album's worth of movies is a totally different experience. But it is interesting to me that at least at this point, RDO and video is, you know, the same internal company is working on both. But, and there, you know, the rumor has always been that eventually the two would merge, or that would make the most sense, that it would be the same model for video and music. But this is not the same model at all. I mean, it's either subscription or it's, you know, purchases and rentals. What do you guys think?
I saw the story and I was really hoping for something different. The fact that, like you were saying, Sarah, there already is an iTunes model. There already is this kind of universe you can get into where you just buy and rent. I wanted to see something, you know, new and interesting. But like we were saying with the other story, I don't want to go into another ecosystem and get locked down in their world. I don't know where this video is going to play. Is it only in the browser? Is that going to get locked out somewhere else? Or it's kind of disappointing. But this is based on, I think, the terms of service. People were able to read that. They couldn't actually get into the beta. Mm. So I'm hoping that it'll be different.
What do you think, Jeff, from the makers of Juiced?
I kind of lost connection with you guys there, so I missed some of the discussion.
We're just talking about video and whether it's going to be worth it, because it doesn't seem to be the same model as RDO.
Yeah, I the last thing in the world I need right now is another subscription video service. I feel, you know, like I want fewer choices and more content on each so that I know where to go to find everything.
Yeah.
So finding, you know, having another, yet another service to worry about, well, is the movie or television show or whatever I want to watch there or somewhere else? That's actually one of the interesting things that Wii U does in their menu system, is that it has Netflix and Hulu Plus and a couple of other services, and it lets you search just by title of the thing you want to watch, and it tells you which service has it, which I think is much more necessary for me than another video service. I just want to know, where do I go to get the thing I want to see?
Yeah, you know? I can't wait for TV to fully launch, because I feel like that is a contender for being that one thing that we all want.
Yeah.
All right, we need to have a very serious talk about some very serious issues. It's time for Schmidt, my chairman says.
This must be the parent in me when I saw this story. Okay, so Eric Schmidt was talking to Reuters. This is the quote. I'd argue for those of you with teenagers and preteens, you should probably have the online talk before you have the sex talk with your kids. And this story was bundled together with a new survey from the Pew Center showing that parents are very aware that they need to talk to their kids about online personalities. 59% of the parents of teen users of social networking sites have talked to their kids because they were concerned about something that was posted on their account. This one was kind of nuts. 44% said they actually read the privacy policies of websites or social networking sites that their kids use. I know we're very, very conscious of our online, reputations. Jeff, what kind of advice do you have for younger folks about putting their stuff online?
Don't do it. I don't have any kids, but the idea of having this discussion, worrying about this thing with kids, terrifies me. I don't think we've come to terms yet with how much our information is out there. And can you imagine? I mean, we just went through an election cycle. Can you imagine when the kids who grew up with Facebook get to a point where one of them has to run for president? You know, like, it's just, it's craziness. And then that doesn't even come into play the amount of material that you can easily click to. I heard the stand-up comedian talking about his daughter who was watching a Disney dance routine on YouTube and only just clicked the links on the side and went through this daisy chain and ended up watching someone simulate oral sex.
Yeah.
And she's like, Dad, how did I get to this? I was on, you know, it's like, it is such a wild, wild west. And that's what's good about the internet. But I just can't imagine having kids in that environment and what you have to be worried about. It overwhelms me, honestly.
Jason, you're looking forward to having the talk?
Yeah, I mean, go ahead. Sorry, go ahead.
I was going to ask Jason, because Jason's got a kid. Are you looking forward to having the talk?
Am I looking forward to this? No, not at all. Look, my daughter is not three yet, and I'm continually kind of hiding behind the fact that, well, I don't have to think about it yet because, you know, it's going to be a while before I actually have to have any of these conversations, be it about the birds and the bees or be it about your online presence. But it scares the crap out of me. And I hope that in the next couple of years, I figure out exactly how I can approach this because it's a pretty serious situation. The power that a kid, a very young child that has access to the internet has an influence over their potential influence over their future is not that difficult to put them into a crazy situation. Like you said, Jeff, I don't know how you approach that as a parent. I think it's easy to look at the headline with, you know, Eric Schmidt saying you need to have the online talk before you have the sex talk and you'll make fun of it because wow, that's, you know, that kind of sounds ridiculous, but I think there's a serious point there. I think that absolutely, because the chances are they're going to get into hot water on the internet before they're going to get in hot water.
They're going to learn about the sex talk.
Yes.
If you're not careful where they're going
yes.
on the internet.
Absolutely.
No, I mean, it's kind of funny to say that, but it's true.
Totally.
Yeah.
Did you guys get the talk from your parents? I'm sorry to keep this topic going, but because I did, and it was awful, and I'm scarred to this day because of that talk.
The online talk is actually easier in that respect.
Yeah, I guess so.
Just combine right. them. Just make yeah. it one horrible Band-Aid. Just rip it right off.
Good point.
Sarah, did you had something you were going to say before we move on?
Well, yeah. I mean, we've probably covered it. I guess my thing is, you know, you have the sex talk with kids because puberty is imminent, right? Or you start seeing behaviors and you think, well, you know, I got to make sure that they're not going to do anything stupid. I mean, the whole the example you gave, Jeff, about the kid who was on YouTube and starts clicking links that are supposed to be related and all of a sudden there's something different. I mean, that's the deal, right? Is you kind of have the talk with the birds and the bees with a child when it's time, kind of biologically, you can get away with not having it when they're young enough for it not really to matter. The internet is going to shove it into their face before they even understand what they're looking at. So it's like,
no pun intended,
you don't really have a choice, you
right.
know?
Yes. And particularly when you think about just the fact that, and then we'll move on because I realize we need to, the kids nowadays are exposed to it so early because parents have these devices and the kids are enthralled, entranced by these devices that the parents are always turning on. So they want to use them. I mean, you know, as early as three, my daughter uses my phone, you know, to watch silly little movies, but it's pretty easy.
48%
of the things.
Kids want an iPad.
Exactly.
They want connected devices. It's,
totally.
It's right there in the Nielsen study we talked about earlier. All right. Well, let's move off of this yes. boring topic to warranties.
Yeah.
That's right, folks. It's steaming up in here. It's that time of year, right? Black Friday is coming up here in the United States. It's the biggest shopping day, or supposedly the biggest shopping day of the year. Everybody has this question at this time of year. I get this from a lot of friends and family. Should I buy that extended warranty? Short answer, no. Don't buy the extended warranty. If you don't want to go into it more than that, that's all you need to know. There are times when you can, though. Jeffrey Morrison, actually, had seen it, has a good article on why you might not want the TV warranties, but he also covers situations in which maybe you would want it. The things to remember very quickly are you get a warranty with anything you buy, so check to see what that covers first. It may be good enough. The repair rate makes a difference. Average repair rate on televisions, which is always the big one. People are like, well, what about a television? They're fragile, right? Only 4.3 to 4.6%, depending on whether it's LCD or plasma, according to Consumer Reports. TVs get cheaper every year. So if it makes it through the warranty that it comes with, it may be cheaper to replace it anyway by the time it breaks, if it does break at all. And if you're still keen on warranties, consider a third party, kind of a repair contract sort of warranty. Something like Square Trade is good to take a look at. AppleCare actually is more of a repair plan than it is a warranty. And sometimes those can make sense. Do you guys have any thoughts on that? What do you answer when people say, oh, should I buy the extended warranty? Or do any of you guys actually buy those warranties?
No, I don't get the warranties just because ever. I know that's what they get the profit margin on. You're
yeah.
like, well, I don't need that.
Yeah. There you go. That's all you need to know. Let's move on to the randomizer.
Randomizer.
So TechCrunch has a story up of every gesture required to beat every level of Angry Birds. You may think, oh, this is just a cheat website. Visualized in paper and ink for an art installation by Evan Roth. So I guess it can sort of be used as a cheat site, but you have to be able to interpret the art.
What is that even supposed to be? I can't find a cheat in there. Those are saved my life.
Finger smudges, right?
Yeah, you don't know what order they come in or what direction necessarily, but it's the finger smudges you make on the screen beating every level of Angry Birds.
So this is art now, huh?
Oh, that's kind of fun. I mean, that's not going to help me with anything, but it is sort of stupidly creative, and I wish I would have thought of it.
I like that phrase. Stupidly creative seems to be, I think, accurate entirely.
That's interesting
how little variation there is.
Yeah. That actually is kind of interesting. I had noticed that. You're basically on the left launching a bird.
Yeah.
I mean, I think stupidly creative just describes art. That's what's awesome about art is that, you know, it's not practical. It's for enjoyment. I found this really cool.
Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah, exactly. It's fun. Let's see what fun things are coming up on the calendar, Sarah.
Oh, Tom, I wish I could say anything that's coming up is fun. No, I'm just kidding. This is actually a bunch of great stuff. Linux Mint 14 Nadia has been released. I originally looked at this and read Narnia, and I was all excited about it. But Nadia is also a very good name. It's a good name.
Linux Mint, HTC Droid. Take that under advisement. We want Linux Mint Narnia.
Yeah, come on. We want fantasy. The HTC Droid DNA is now available at Verizon. Also, we have a birthday to celebrate. It is the Xbox 360's birthday, everybody.
Happy birthday, Xbox 360. Birthday.
Now get the hell out.
You don't look a fun, day huh? over four.
Seven
I'm not
lucky
embarrassed
years
to say,
strong.
7 years ago today, I was sleeping on the concrete in front of Best Buy.
Yep.
I really Aww. Was.
Was it related to the Xbox?
Yeah, actually, it had nothing to do with the launch.
I was homeless. It was not a good time for me.
You've come such
a
long way,
Jeff. This
is just
a sad story.
And finally, there's not a lot of people celebrating Thanksgiving in Japan, at least not that I know of, but if you want to be thankful, you can be thankful that the white slim PS3s are arriving in the country tomorrow.
All right. Let's see what's incoming.
Incoming message.
Got an email from Simon in Liverpool, UK. He says, "Hey, TNT gang, I'm more of a semantic web guy than I am a cryptography guy, but I think I can explain the relevance of the quantum key distribution. Current cryptography relies on computers being too feeble to turn the ciphertext back into the original plain text in a timely fashion. As computers get more powerful, we bump up the strength of the encryption correspondingly to ensure that plain text is always well out of reach. But this will stop being a viable option in an age of quantum computers. So the obvious next step is to stop third parties from eavesdropping on the data transmission to begin with, at least in a way that's undetectable."
We did cover that, Simon, in what we were saying. And that's Bruce Schneier's objection is like, sure, but that is so far in the future. It is an incredibly low priority, and the security vulnerabilities are elsewhere. They're at the other ends of it. So we don't need to be... He says we don't need to be spending time on that. Also, correction from Paul Toe. I think we just made a misspeak. But Ryan Shrout, when we were talking about Cisco on Monday, said that Cisco bought Netgear and he meant Linksys. So yes,
you can stop writing it now.
Cisco bought Linksys. I hope that puts your mind to rest, Paul. Thanks for writing in. And thanks, Jeff Cannata, for joining us, man. It was great to have you.
Thanks for having me, man. I love it. I love the show and a big fan of you guys. So thanks for having me.
Yeah, good fun conversation today. Let folks know where they can find more Jeff Cannata online.
Well, the easiest way is always to follow me on Twitter at Jeff Cannata. That's Jeff Cannata with two N's and one T. Or check out my blog, jeffcannata.com.
All right.
And sometimes Jeff has spirited tweets about the 49ers, which I enjoy.
Oh, yes. Yes, we do. Sarah and I do long distance high fives.
Nice.
All right. That's right.
That's worth it right there. Thanks, everybody, for watching or listening and submitting stories at our subreddit. It's technewstoday.reddit.com if you want to let your voice be heard on what kind of stuff we're going to be talking about each day. Also, if you have a best of moment, don't forget to submit it to twit.tv/best of for any show, including Tech News Today. We're going to put them all together and make some best of the year episodes at the end of the year. And you can find us on the web at twit.tv/TNT. You can email us. Our email address is tnt@twit.tv or give us a call. Leave us a phone number. Don't leave us a phone number. Just leave us a message. 260-TNT show. We're not going to call you back. I'm sorry.
Hey, it's Tom calling me back.
We will be back on Monday because of the holidays here in the U.S. with Lindsay Turrentine. We'll see you then.